You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Thursday, 18 February. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Gary Boyson, I want to touch the Dis-Chem update. I also want to get his sense of healthcare stocks generally. They've been under a bit of pressure, particularly the hospitals. Aspen's done okay. Is he seeing some value there, perhaps? Michael Rousseau from 10X, the real impact of early retirement withdrawals and the cost thereof. And then Brian McMillan, Investec's got a new S&P 500 structured product coming in March. I like these products, so we'll delve into the details around that. Yesterday's poll, we asked you about mining companies reporting knockout results. Our question was, are you investing? 23% said nope, run too hard. 51%, of which includes me, already invested. 9% are taking profits, and 17% of you don't like mining. But that 51% who already invested, your portfolios are looking nice, eh? MoneyWeb Now, brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable, income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb, Coronation are overweight SA equities. Their CIO says excellent value in the South African commodity shares. He also mentions NASPAS, Quilter, British American Tobacco, Aspen and Bidcorp, but has no attraction for property. Business Day, regulator halts bid to give VIP early jabs. Absolutely. We've given it to our president, our health minister. The rest of the politicians, you go to the back of the queue. That'll help them speed up the process. Morning markets, US was red. S&P red, but down 0.03%. NASDAQ off 0.6. Sydney is literally a point lower, and Tokyo off 0.2%. Commodities, green, Brent, just over $65. Gold, 1,782. Rand, 1,467. Top 40, looking for opening a green open, about 50 points, which is a little under 0.1%.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Gary Boyson. He is a portfolio manager at Rand Swiss. Gary, morning. Appreciate your time. A decent update from them yesterday. It was the 22 weeks, 5 months to 2nd of February. Revenue growth up 12%. Wholesale doing especially strong. The convenience stores doing a lot better than the sort of big in the mall stores. All of that makes sense, but a good set of numbers. I mean, intuitively, you know, they would have been operating. They work in the right space around health. We're in a pandemic. Nice to see the numbers coming through. Is this a stock? Do you think this justifies current levels, or you go have concerns?
No, that's a good question. So, you know, if you look at the current levels, I mean, it's trading on an SRP of around 51, and they're still expecting serious growth coming out of it, because if you look forward, you're still sitting on kind of quite elevated levels on a forward P of 25, which if you compare that to something like Clicks, maybe a little bit cheaper, a couple of points cheaper, but Clicks, they're also expecting decent earnings, decent earnings growth to come out, which, as you said, I think is, you know, largely because these companies can operate under a pandemic. As you said earlier, if you look at the mall trade versus the convenience trade, you've actually seen malls starting to recover as well. That's really the sector that was under pressure, people preferring to go to those convenience centers, but that recovering well. And I think one of the key numbers that came out is just the ability to deliver online sales. So if you look at what Dis-Chem is doing, I mean, they've got their click and collect program, you saw revenue up 218%, which is slightly ahead of what Clicks did, but I'm not going to argue for a couple of percent. Clicks was up 173% on their online sales when they gave us the update to 28th of January. But I think, you know, this program's been running since 2013, but, you know, the pandemic really I suppose, shifting consumers' ability to shop online. It's changing the way that we shop. And as long as Dis-Chem can do that, I think, and as long as Dis-Chem, that's in its thinking, it will be okay going forward. The problem is, I think my concern around Dis-Chem at the moment is that, ever since, the Zaltzman family listed this, it was all about aggressive rollout of stores. It's that cookie-cutter model. It's just open new stores, bring in new revenue, and it's also about acquisitive growth, which is more risky. It's buying things like Baby City. So my concern around the company is that in a more online world, is it going to need this huge brick and mortar footprint that it's building? And that for me is the concern. But good institutional backing. So let's see how it works out.
A quick last question. More generally, our healthcare, intuitively you think pandemic healthcare would do great, but of course our hospitals have been under pressure, all of them. Been done okay. I mean, is this a sector locally that you're looking at and seeing some value, or are you waiting for the dust to settle?
I think there's definitely value, and it really comes down to which hospital group or which pharmaceutical company you're going to pick. If you compare them to the drug retailers, which are consumer staple companies, a lot cheaper. I mean, we're just talking about P's, above 30. You suddenly start looking at the forwards, in the healthcare sector. I mean, you're talking sub 15 forward P's. So, these stocks are a lot cheaper. They haven't, I think, had the boon that the likes of the pharmaceutical, drug retailers have had over COVID, because one, no one wants to be seen as profiteering from COVID. You can see it in overseas pharmaceutical companies as well. Pfizer's making the vaccine, the stock isn't flying, shooting the lights out, short of something like Moderna, which is coming out of nowhere. But the likes of Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, these are low margin products, the vaccine, and the rollout is not going to assist them. So hospital groups kind of sit in the same place. You don't want to say, oh yeah, we've got tons of patients in our hospital and we're charging them a fortune and making huge profits. It definitely wouldn't go down well. I think, there is room. I mean, obviously the hospital groups have been under pressure because elective surgeries have been cancelled. As we see the pandemic rolling through, I think you will see a big kick up as they return to normal. So it could be an opportunity to get into the hospital sector, and I suppose the healthcare sector in general, because it's not expensive at the moment.
Yeah, no, not expensive. Perhaps an opportunity there. We'll park that there. Gary Boyson, Portfolio Manager, Rand Swiss. Gary, I appreciate your early morning time.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth, but with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place? Offshore, while earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP. Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Michael Rousseau. He's a senior investment consultant at 10X Investments. Michael, appreciate your time this morning. Talking around early withdrawals from pensions, and I think people get the sense that it's a bad idea. I think they probably miss just how bad it is. Your RRR20 survey, 62% of respondents who'd left a corporate fund had cashed in some of their savings rather than preserving. Now, when you leave that corporate, you can preserve. In other words, you can keep it sort of wrapped in its tax wrapper, in its pension fund wrapper. The temptation to withdraw it, I get, is strong, but the math is really, really bad.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. I think that there's a very negative impact on those that do not preserve their savings. I mean, look, every individual's circumstance might call for much more pressing need, to get them through to tomorrow rather than in 20 years' time. But I do feel that all of us know that sometimes what we think our needs are actually wants. And to touch your preservation savings, there can be a massive negative impact. And to understand that negative impact, one needs to understand, well, firstly, know the effect of compound interest and then understand the power of compounding interest. Just understanding what compound interest is, it's basically your preservation fund or your pension and provident fund is generating interest every single year. And what compounding does is generate interest on interest. Mm-hmm. A simple example would be If you had 100 rand at the beginning of the year at 10% interest rate, you'll get about 10% interest, which means at the end of the year, you'll have 110. And then at the start of the second year, you'll have 110 rand at 10% interest rate, which means now instead of receiving interest on just the 100 rand that you originally had, you're now receiving interest on the 100 rand plus the first year's growth, meaning you get 11 rand's worth of interest, which is now 1 rand more than the previous year. And then that just compounds every single year, and it grows exponentially to a point where 35 years later, your interest is 300 rand and all you invested was 100 rand in the beginning.
Yeah, and it becomes a significant part. I mean, and you've got a great, I mean, with the notes you sent out, I mean, a great illustration of it. And you know, the illustration, I'm a pictures person. You know, over a 40-year period, if you take out at the halfway point, at 20 years, if you cash out, the person who didn't cash out, you know, the person who cashed out halfway and restarted ends up with 75% less cash. I mean, the numbers are absolutely giant. I appreciate it's hard to think 20 years into the future, you know, especially if you've got pressing needs for the weekend, but 75% less, I mean, that is real.
Oh, no, definitely. And I always give a really short answer when people ask me a question, and I always name drop Warren Buffett, so yeah. Cue the rolling of the eyes there, but generally they have about, he started with 5K at age 15, it took him 40 years to get to 1 billion.
Yeah,
and then thereafter, it took him 4 years to get to his second. So those people that have saved up in their venture fund up to a million, just know that if you touch your money now, you actually could be, you know, selling yourself short, where in 4 years' time you could have two.
Yeah.
So that's the short, really to the point type of answer. But the best way to actually explain this, and I think I'll share with you a personal story, because, you know, there's a whole bunch of stigma in our industry where people don't make mistakes, or you've got to act like you don't make mistakes. When I was 25, I had a pension fund, saved up 75K. And at the time, I had a whole bunch of little things to take care of, but also a lot of wants as well. And what did I do? I thought, oh, it's just 75K. I'm going to cash it out now, and I'll make it up later. And to me, at 25, it was just 75K. A couple of years later, I did the math on that, and I realized if I just kept that 75K there, 40 years on, it would have been 4 million. So, yeah, I did touch 75K and at that age, but I actually took away 4 million from my future savings.
Yeah, I mean, I did the same. I cashed out. It wasn't so much, but I was also 25. I've never run the numbers of what it'll be worth today, because truthfully, it's going to be terrifying. I left a job after a year, and as you say, you're 25. There's a bit of money, and you think, that looks useful. I could use it. Michael Rousseau, senior investment consultant, 10X Investments. Appreciate your early morning.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Checking now with Brian McMillan. You find him at Investec Corporate and Institutional Banking. Brian, morning. Appreciate your time. You're rolling out a new S&P 500 structured product, a five-year lifespan. There's some nuances to it, but in the simple level, it's going to be tracking the S&P 500. It is a structured note. We'll talk about those details. It's going to give me benefit of S&P movement over the sort of next couple of years, and you do cash it from rands into dollars.
Morning, Simon. Yes, that's correct. As you say, one small nuance. We're actually tracking the S&P 500 value index, which is a little bit different from the S&P in that we're looking to track U.S. stocks, but those ones that the S&P itself has defined as value stocks. And the reason for that is that, people would have seen over the last 10 years, specifically S&P 500 has performed extremely well. And, since the COVID crash last year, the S&P 500 has really steamed ahead. And a lot of that is due to, basically tech stocks.
Yeah, so less Tesla, more Procter & Gamble, I imagine. It is an auto call. So as I understand how this will work, is that it runs 5 years, but at the end of 3 years, if the index is green over that period, you will pay 8% a year regardless of what the index is. So if the index is up 1% over the period, I'll get 8% a year. That equals 24%.
Yes, that's correct. So we're looking to do these types of products where, you know, the market is high. We acknowledge that. And, you know, in this particular product, you don't even need the market to grow very much in order to get that, that minimum of 24% after 3 years, should the market be flat or positive. Of course, playing the value index, you know, it's a bit of a longer term play, and that's why we've gone with an order call that's 5 years. So, you know, after 3 years, if the index is slightly down or down, you get another bite at the cherry after year four. So the index could recover in year four. If it's positive, you then get 4 times 8% or 32% return. And all of those returns, as you said, are in US dollars. So although the investor makes the investment in rands, we take that money, we convert it into US dollars, and they have dollar exposure over that time, and we change it back into rands at expiry at the prevailing rate. So, you know, with the rand strengthening as it has over the last few months, we believe that now could be an opportune moment to not only make an investment into the US value index, but also make that investment in US dollars.
And at the end of 5 years, there will be one of three scenarios playing out. One, the index is green and it hasn't been called, and you'll get paid out your 40%. Two, the index is down, but less than 30% down, in which case I get my capital back. And that's an important point. There is a some downside protection as long as it's not down more than 30%. So if the index was down 25%, I would come out flat. In other words, I would not have lost cash on the index.
Yes, that's correct, Simon. And again, we looked at this particular index over the last 25 years. And you know, looking at the back testing after 5 years, what has the return been on a sort of daily rolling basis? Mm-hmm. And we found only one period where it actually was down more than 30% at that time. And that was right in the middle of the crash of 2008, when in 2009, the index would have been down. So we're comfortable with that level of protection. And, you know, the investors not only get this upside, but they do get that level of capital protection as well.
For folks who are interested, I mean, it's the usual, this will be sort of IPO'd via stockbrokers. They can obviously contact Investec for more information, but I go to my broker to access.
Yes, you do. So you have to own a stockbroking account in order to hold this, because it is a JSE-listed instrument. Yeah. And that brings a lot of benefits, because it means that investors can sell it. There's a liquid market in them, which Investec make, as well as, you know, they get a daily price and they get the valuations from their stockbroker.
We'll leave that there. These are certainly, I like structured products. They have a good space in the right portfolio. That's Brian McMillan, Investec Corporate Institutional Banking. Appreciate your time this morning. This show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Medical 30. It's a multi-tenanted Class A medical office building located in Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA is an authorized financial services provider, license number 50483. Our poll for today, chatting with Michael Rousseau from 10X, have you drawn pension money early? Yes, I needed the money. No, time is growth, or maybe you are considering it. I did, and I mean, I would say I needed the money, but truthfully, I was young and probably almost certainly squandered it. I don't remember, but probably I did. You'll find our poll on our Twitter account at MoneyWeb. That's it for today. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app at 6:30 a.m. Podcast available also on the website, the app, or wherever you get great podcasts. That from 7 o'clock in the morning. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Cordora, Nicole, and Masekhla, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.